Welcome back to another deep dive. Today, we are tackling a subject that usually induces a very specific throbbing kind of headache for business owners and marketing managers.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about. You're sitting there, your coffee has gone cold, and you are staring at a spreadsheet that has about 40 columns and maybe 10,000 rows.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, right. And you are trying to merge data from your Facebook ad platform with data from your inventory system, maybe cross-referencing it with your email marketing tool, and you're thinking, I just want to know if that email blast we sent yesterday actually made us any money.
The classic state of analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
You have all the data in the world, it's right there in front of you, but you have absolutely zero actual answers.
Exactly. It is the widening gap between having numbers and having, well, intelligence.
Yeah.
But I want you to imagine a completely different scenario.
Okay.
Imagine you are looking at your online store's dashboard, but there are no pivot tables. There are no complex filters to toggle. There is just a simple chat box. And you type in, hey, which marketing campaign brought in the most loyal customers last month? And boom, you get an instant answer. Not a spreadsheet row you have to decipher, but a fully visualized chart. No SQL, no coding, just a conversation.
It sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? Or at least extremely expensive, high-end consulting that takes, you know, months to set up. But that is the promise of the technology we are looking at today.
It is.
It's moving from data management to conversational intelligence.
Today, we are decoding UltraCart's data ecosystem.
Yeah.
Specifically, we are looking at their deep integration with Google BigQuery and this tool that, frankly, kind of blew my mind when we were reviewing the materials, the AI-powered report builder.
Yeah, it's impressive.
We have gone through a massive stack of documentation here. UltraCart's technical docs, their analytics training handbook, and the specific configuration guides for the data warehouse.
And our mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We want to bridge that gap between the magic of typing a question into a box and the actual heavy lifting engineering that happens in the background to make that possible.
Right.
Because, as we will see, the pretty interface is useless without the engine room downstairs. We need to understand both the glossy front end and the gritty back end to really get why this matters.
Right. We are going to take you from, I have a vague question about my sales, to
yeah.
I have a professional automated dashboard without you needing a degree in data science.
That's the goal.
But we aren't just going to hype up the AI. We need to talk about the plumbing. The BigQuery architecture, because that is where the real power and the potential pitfalls live.
Oh, for sure.
If you don't understand the plumbing, you're eventually going to have a leak.
It is a two-part story. You have the front end, which is the AI teammate, and the back end, which is this enterprise-grade data warehouse. You really can't understand one without the other.
It's like trying to understand a race car by only looking at the steering wheel.
Exactly.
So let's start with the shiny object. Let's start with the front end, the AI-powered report builder. The documentation uses a really interesting phrase to describe the user experience here. It doesn't call it a tool or a utility or a generator.
No.
It suggests you treat it like a teammate.
That is a crucial shift in mental models. Think about traditional reporting tools. When you open a standard analytics dashboard, whether it's Google Analytics or something inside an ERP, you are immediately presented with controls.
Oh, yeah. Buttons everywhere.
You see filters, date pickers, drop-down menus, checkboxes, maybe a query builder if you're unlucky. The interface screams, you need to know how to operate me.
Uh-huh.
It puts the burden of technical knowledge on you, the user.
It's like climbing into the cockpit of a 747. If you don't know what the switches do, you don't fly. And worse, if you flip the wrong switch, you might crash or at least get very wrong data.
Precisely. But this AI interface is just a chat window. It uses natural language processing, or NLP.
Right.
The documentation explicitly advises you to talk to it normally. Don't try to speak in keywords. Don't try to sound like a computer.
So instead of hunting for a revenue column and trying to apply a date less than 30 days filter,
you just type show ad spend versus revenue over the last 60 days.
I was playing around with the example prompts in the source material, and some of them are surprisingly nuanced. It's not just show me sales. It's things like compare gross profit by product category after shipping costs.
Okay, stop right there.
That sounds simple when you say it, but let's unpack that. Think about the math involved there.
It is not simple at all. Let's break down what a human analyst would have to do to answer that question manually in, say, Excel.
Okay.
First, you would have to pull the raw revenue data for every single order. Then you would have to find the cost of goods sold, the COGS, for every individual SKU in those orders.
Right, for each line item.
Then you would have to look up the actual shipping cost paid for each specific shipment. You would have to subtract the COGS and the shipping from the revenue to get the gross profit per line item.
Which is already a bunch of different data sources.
A bunch. Then you have to group all those thousands of line items by their product category. And finally, sum them up over the specific time period. That is a solid hour of work for a decent analyst, assuming the data is clean.
And if the data isn't clean, it's an all-day project. And the AI does this in seconds.
Right.
But this brings up the skepticism I think a lot of our listeners might have. It certainly crossed my mind. We hear AI and we think of ChatGPT or large language models that sometimes, well, let's be honest, they make things up.
They hallucinate.
They hallucinate. They give you a convincing answer that is totally wrong. Is this thing just guessing the numbers?
That is the single most important technical distinction to make here. No, it is not guessing. This isn't a generative model writing fiction. It is a translation engine.
A translation, yes.
When you type that plain English question, the AI is taking your intent and converting it in real time into SQL-structured query language.
SQL being the code that databases actually speak. Mm. It's the native tongue of data.
Right. It's acting as a translator between human intent and database logic. It writes the code that queries the hard data. It executes that code against your actual database.
So it's not imagining what the sales might be.
No, it's not predicting the number. It's calculating it based on the actual records in your database. It's the difference between asking a poet to describe the moon and asking an astronomer to calculate its orbit.
And what I love about the documentation is the emphasis on transparency. It doesn't hide its homework. It doesn't just say, here is the number, trust me.
I think that is one of the best features for anyone who actually wants to learn or verify the data. When the AI generates a report, it allows you to click a tab and see the raw SQL it wrote.
It shows its work.
It is not a black box. You can see exactly how it defined gross profit. You can see which tables it joined. You can see if it filtered out the test orders or not.
Right.
If you are a merchant who wants to learn SQL, you can basically use this to reverse engineer the logic. It's like having a tutor sitting next to you writing the code on the fly.
It creates a feedback loop.
Yeah.
You ask, it codes, you learn. And frankly, it builds trust. If the number looks weird, you can check the logic.
You can.
Now, it doesn't just spit out a table of numbers, though. The docs mention it auto-generates visuals.
Yeah.
How does it decide what to show?
It attempts to predict the most useful visualization based on the data type you requested. So, if you ask for sales by state, it is smart enough to know that is geographic data.
So, it should be a map.
So, it generates a heat map of the U.S. If you ask for sales over the last 30 days, it recognizes a time series, a trend, so it gives you a line chart.
And the list of supported visuals is pretty robust. I saw bar charts, scatter plots, funnel charts, which are huge for checkout flow analysis.
Critical.
And even cohort grids, which we will definitely touch on later when we talk about subscriptions. It feels like it's trying to be a complete BI tool, not just a calculator.
The visualizations are interactive too, but here's the thing. It won't always get it right on the first try.
Okay.
Maybe you wanted a bar chart, but it gave you a line chart. Or maybe you wanted to exclude test orders from your staff, but it included them.
In the old days, or in a traditional tool, that would mean reloading the report, going back to the filter tab, finding the customer group selector, unchecking staff, and rerunning the query.
A whole process.
It breaks your flow.
Right, but here you use the edit workflow. This is where the conversational part really shines. You don't have to retype the whole prompt. The AI remembers the context.
Oh, that's key.
It knows what data you are currently looking at, so you just click edit and type switch this to a bar chart or exclude orders from the internal customer group. It iterates on the existing query.
That contextual awareness is huge.
Yeah.
It stops that frustration of having to be a prompt engineer. Just to get a simple tweak, you can just talk to it like you would a person.
Hey, make that blue, or actually just show me last week.
Exactly. But I want to pivot to the cost of this. Not the monthly subscription fee, but the computational cost. The docs mentioned something about token usage. That sounds a bit arcade game-ish.
This is a fascinating bit of transparency from UltraCart. Every time you run a query, every time you ask a question, you are using computing power.
Right.
You are using the AI's tokens to process the language, and you are using BigQuery's processing power to scan the data. The system actually shows you the token usage and the context usage for each query.
We're usually talking fractions of a cent here, right? It's not like every question costs 10 bucks.
Oh, absolutely. It is negligible for a single query. But seeing that cost serves a psychological purpose. It reminds the user that this isn't magic. It is computation. It subtly incentivizes you to ask better, more specific questions.
So if I'm lazy and I just say, show me everything.
If you ask a sloppy question that scans the entire database, you burn more tokens. If you ask a precise question, you are more efficient.
It gamifies efficiency a little bit. It makes you a better question asker.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have got this incredible front end. It is easy to use. It translates English to SQL. It visualizes the answers. And it even teaches you a bit about cost efficiency. But as you always remind us, a pretty interface on a broken engine is just a really nice-looking car that won't start.
Hey, right.
Let's talk about the beast underneath. Google BigQuery.
This is where we leave the kiddie pool and jump into the ocean. To understand why the AI is so fast and accurate, you have to understand the data warehouse architecture.
Okay.
UltraCart basically spins up an enterprise-grade data warehouse for your specific store hosted on Google Cloud. But the killer feature, the thing that separates this from your standard export to CSV workflow, is streaming.
Streaming versus batching. Let's break that down. I feel like most merchants are used to batching without even knowing the word for it. It's just the water they swim in.
If you have ever pulled a report and realized it doesn't include the sales from the last few hours, you have experienced batching.
Right. The data's stale.
Traditional data warehousing often updates once a day, usually at midnight. The system takes all of yesterday's data, bundles it up, and dumps it into the warehouse.
So if I am checking my dashboard at 4:00 p.m. on Black Friday, and I am looking at a batched report.
You are looking at data that is 16 hours old. You are driving down the highway at 90 miles an hour, but you are only looking in the rearview mirror.
Wow, that's a great analogy.
You have no idea what is happening right now. You don't know if your inventory is hitting zero right now. You don't know if your ad spend is spiking right now.
Which is a disaster for dynamic situations like a product launch or a holiday sale.
Yeah.
You can't pivot if you don't know where you are.
Exactly. UltraCart uses streaming updates for BigQuery. The documentation states that data appears in the warehouse within about 2 minutes of the event happening on the storefront.
2 minutes.
It is near real time. You can see the spike in traffic as it happens. You can see the coupon code failing as it happens. It changes the nature of management from reactive to proactive.
That speed is a competitive advantage. But it's not just about speed. It's about the structure of the data itself. The docs get a little heavy here, talking about nested JSON.
Mm-hmm.
I know developers love JSON, but for the average business owner, that sounds terrifying.
Mm.
What does that actually mean for the data?
It is actually a much more logical way to store data if you think about how the real world works.
Right.
Imagine a standard spreadsheet. It is flat, two dimensions, rows, and columns.
Sure.
Now imagine you have an order. That order has a customer name, a date, and a total. But inside that order, you have five different items.
In a flat spreadsheet, that is a mess. I've dealt with this. You export the file and it looks chaotic.
Right. You either have to cram all five items into one cell separated by commas, which makes it impossible to analyze, or you have to create five separate rows for the same order, repeating the customer name and date five times.
I've seen that.
It is redundant, it is bloated, and it is slow to process.
Okay, I can visualize that. Duplicate data everywhere. The same customer name appearing over and over again just to list a pair of socks.
BigQuery works differently. It uses nested data. Think of it like a Russian nesting doll or a folder on your computer.
Okay, so it has hierarchy.
Yes. You have one row for the order, but inside that row, there is a specific field for items that acts like a container. Inside that container is the list of five items. There's another container for coupons, another for tracking numbers.
So the data structure actually mirrors the real-world object. An order isn't a flat list. It is a container of things.
Exactly. This makes the database incredibly fast because when you want to query orders, it doesn't have to scan through millions of duplicate rows. It just scans the top-level order rows.
So it's more efficient.
It is cleaner, it is faster, and it is cheaper to process. It allows for complex data without the complex mess.
Now, within this warehouse, there are some specific tables that act as the source of truth. We've got U-quarters, which is obvious. But what are the other heavy hitters we should know about? If I'm poking around in there, where should I look?
There are four distinct data sets you will be interacting with most. First, U-quarters, which is your core transaction data. That's the bread and butter.
Got it.
Then you have Ucato orders. If you run a subscription box or have any recurring billing, this is your lifeblood. It tracks the original sign-up, the rebills, the churn, everything.
That is distinct from regular orders.
Yes, because the logic is different. You need to link a parent order to child orders. If you treat them all as just orders, you lose the relationship between them.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then third, you have Ucanalytics sessions. This is the big one. This is every click, every page view, every movement a customer makes on the site.
That sounds massive.
It is enormous. It's the fire hose. And we will talk about the dangers of querying that table in a bit, because it can get expensive if you aren't careful.
Right.
Finally, there is Uxtor front experiments. If you are doing A/B testing, trying out different headlines or button colors, that data flows here so you can analyze the results.
Before we move on from the back end, I have to ask about security. We are streaming all this customer data, names, addresses, maybe partial credit card info into a Google Cloud warehouse. Is it safe?
Mm-hmm.
If I hire a freelance data analyst and give them access, can they see my customers' home addresses? That keeps people up at night.
This is a critical question. UltraCart uses something called column-level security. Basically, they can lock down specific columns that contain PII, personally identifiable information.
So you can just turn off access to the name column.
Right. So the analyst can see the order total column, but the customer name column is blocked. It just shows up as null or restricted.
But wait, if I block the name, how do I know if the same person blocked twice? I need to know my repeat customer rate.
That is the clever part. The system provides a hashed version of the sensitive data. Mm. A hash is like a digital fingerprint. It turns John Smith into a random string of characters like X7Y9Z.
And it's one way.
It's one way. You can't turn X7Y9Z back into John Smith.
Okay. And that string is unique to John Smith.
Yes. Every time John Smith buys something, it generates that same X7Y9Z string. So your analyst can say, hey, user X7Y9Z is a high-value customer who bought 3 times this year without ever knowing that his name is John Smith or seeing his address.
So you get the analytical insight without the privacy liability.
Precisely. You get to be data-driven while being privacy compliant.
That is a really elegant solution. You keep the utility but lose the risk. Okay, so we have covered the chatbox front end and the nested data back end. Now, how do we actually use this in a daily workflow?
Right.
I have asked the question, I have got the chart.
Yeah.
Am I just done? Do I just stare at it?
No, that is just the exploration phase. That's the messy creative part. Now we move to the reporting phase.
Okay.
Once you generate a chart you like, it lives in the report viewer. This viewer has 3 main tabs that bridge the gap between casual usage and pro usage.
3 tabs.
There's a visual tab, obviously. Then there's the data tab where you can download the raw numbers to Excel if you want to play with them there.
And the third one.
The analysis tab. This one is really cool. It provides an AI-generated written summary of the data.
Is this just generic boilerplate? Sales went up, good job. I feel like I've seen automated reports that just say data indicates a positive trend.
No, and the docs emphasize this. It is context aware. It scans the specific metrics and filters you used in that specific report.
So it knows what I asked.
If you filtered for mobile users in California, the written analysis will specifically talk about trends regarding mobile users in California. It points out outliers, trends, and anomalies. It is like having a junior analyst write a quick memo to go along with the chart.
That saves a lot of time when you are trying to explain a chart to a boss or a partner. You can just copy paste the summary. Here's what this means.
Yeah.
And then I assume you can group these reports.
Exactly. You build dashboards. You might have a marketing dashboard with 5 or 6 different reports on it and a separate logistics dashboard.
Right.
But there is one feature on the dashboard that I think is a killer app for usability, the global date selector.
Why is that one so important? It sounds like a basic feature.
It sounds basic, but the lack of it is a major pain point. Have you ever tried to compare 3 different charts from 3 different sources?
All the time.
One is showing last 30 days, one is showing this month to date, and one is last quarter. You can't compare them. It is apples and oranges. You are mentally trying to adjust the lines.
The timelines don't match, so the trends look different. You see a dip in one that doesn't exist in the other just because the dates are off.
On these dashboards, you set the date once, say last 7 days at the top of the page. Instantly, every chart on that dashboard snaps to that specific time frame.
Ah, so it aligns everything.
It forces an apples-to-apples comparison across all your metrics. It sounds simple, but it prevents so many bad decisions based on mismatched data. It aligns the entire view of the business.
And then you can schedule these to go out via email.
Yes, you can set up a Monday morning update. The system generates a PDF snapshot of the dashboard and emails it to your CEO, your marketing manager, or whoever needs it.
So you're pushing the data out.
It pushes the data to them so they don't have to log in and look for it. It turns the dashboard from a destination into a delivery system.
The training handbook describes a workflow called promotion. I really like this concept. It treats data analysis as a maturity model. Can you walk us through that?
It is a three-step process. Step one is exploration. You use the AI chat. You ask questions, you play around, you iterate.
The messy part.
It is messy and creative. What if I look at this? What about that? Step two is validation. You look at the visual, maybe check the SQL, and confirm, yes, this is the right answer. This logic holds up.
And step three.
Step three is promotion.
Promotion meaning moving it out of the chat.
Exactly. You take that SQL code the AI wrote and you promote it. Maybe you save it as a permanent dashboard widget.
Oh.
Or maybe you take that SQL code and paste it into an external tool like Microsoft Power BI or Looker Studio. You aren't stuck in the chat box forever. The chat box is just the drafting table. The dashboard is the gallery.
That is a really healthy way to think about AI. It is the starting point, not the destination. Now, we promise a deep dive, and that means looking at the jagged edges too. We can't just sing praises.
Mm-hmm.
What are the technical challenges or the gotchas that a user needs to watch out for? Where can I trip up?
There are three big ones that stood out to me in the documentation. If you ignore these, you will get bad data or a big bill.
Okay.
The first one is time zones.
The bane of every data analyst's existence, it never goes away.
It really is. BigQuery stores everything in UTC Universal Time Coordinated. That is great for computers because it is a global standard, but it is terrible for humans who operate in local time.
Right.
If you ask for sales for January 1st, BigQuery cuts off the day at midnight UTC. Depending on where you live, that might be 7.000 p.m. EST.
So you lose the last 5 hours of sales for the day. Your daily numbers won't match your bank deposits.
Exactly. And that drives accountants crazy. The fix, according to the docs, is that you often need to create a view, which is a saved query, that automatically converts those timestamps to your local time zone.
You have to do it yourself.
You have to handle that conversion explicitly, or your daily reports will always be slightly off. You need to tell the database, when I say today, I mean today in New York, not today in London.
Okay, that is gotcha number one. Watch your clock. What is number two?
Data volume. Remember Ucanalytics sessions, the table with every single click.
The massive one, the fire hose.
In BigQuery, generally speaking, you pay for the amount of data you process. If you write a sloppy query that says, select all from analytics sessions, you are asking the database to scan potentially terabytes of data.
And racking up a bill for that processing power.
Correct. UltraCart covers a certain amount, the first dollar of query costs, which goes a long way. But if you go wild, you pay for it.
So what's the fix?
The best practice is to always filter by partition date. Basically, you have to tell the database, only look at the last week. Don't scan the last 5 years unless you really, really need to.
Be specific.
It is like searching for a lost key. You don't search the whole house. You search the room you were just in.
So be specific with your dates. Don't be greedy with the data. And the third, gotcha.
Immutable data. This is a computer science concept, but it matters for merchants. Data warehouses generally don't delete rows. They are designed to be append-only histories. They are like a logbook written in pen.
So if a customer changes their address on an order, what happens? You can't erase the old address.
The database doesn't erase the old address. It streams a new row with the updated address. So now you have two rows for the same order ID, one with the old info, one with the new.
And if I just sum up the rows, I might double count that order. I'd show twice the revenue.
Exactly. If you query the raw streaming tables, you might see duplicates. The solution is to use the views provided by UltraCart, like UQuarters. These views automatically do the logic to consolidate the rows and only show you the final current version.
So the rule of thumb is, don't query the raw streaming tables unless you are a pro. Use the curated views.
100%. Stay on the paved road until you know how to drive off-road. The views are there to protect you from the raw complexity.
Okay, let's get practical. The handbook includes some labs, real-world scenarios. I want to walk through a few of these because I think they show what is actually possible when you combine this data. Let's start with marketing ROI. Scenario A.
This is the classic challenge. The question is, Show net revenue by UTM source for the last 90 days.
UTM sources, those are the little tags on the end of a URL that tell you where a visitor came from. Like the .utm source Facebook.
Right. Now, Facebook will tell you how many clicks you got. They will show you beautiful charts of clicks and impressions, but clicks don't pay the bills.
No.
And Facebook's conversion tracking is, let's say, optimistic. It often claims credit for sales it didn't really drive, or it traps revenue based on the cart total, not the actual profit.
So how does the UltraCart data fix this?
By querying the Ukaffiliate clicks and Ukorders tables together, you can connect that specific UTM source directly to net revenue.
Net, not gross.
Not just gross sales, but profit. You might find that Facebook sent 100 people, but they bought cheap, low-margin items. Meanwhile, your email newsletter sent 10 people, but they bought high-margin bundles.
You are optimizing for profit, not traffic. That changes your entire ad strategy. You might turn off the high-traffic campaign because it's actually losing money.
Exactly. It connects the marketing activity to the financial reality.
What about operations? Scenario B. This one seems less sexy, but maybe more important for the bottom line.
This one is for the logistics managers. Show average time from payment to shipment by shipping method.
Oh, finding the bottlenecks.
Precisely. You might find that standard shipping orders are leaving the warehouse in 12 hours, but express orders are taking 36 hours for some reason.
That's a problem.
Or maybe one specific distribution center is lagging behind the others. You can see it clear as day.
And you can also track inventory value, right?
Yes. You can look at inventory value combined with cost of goods sold. This tells you how much capital is tied up sitting on your shelves. If you have $50,000 worth of product that hasn't moved in 6 months, that is $50,000 of cash you can't use. The AI can highlight that instantly. It turns inventory from boxes on a shelf to dollars on a shelf.
Let's look at scenario C. This is the big one for subscription businesses. Churn.
Churn is notoriously hard to calculate in standard spreadsheets. The problem is that you have an original order, say, from January, then you have a rebill in February, another in March, another in April.
Right. They're all separate transactions.
These are all separate rows in a normal export. Linking them together to see the story of that customer is a nightmare of Veal, Ekups, and Pivot tables.
But your co-orders handles this.
It does. The table is structured to link the parent order to all its children. So you can ask the AI for a cohort analysis.
Okay.
You can ask, of the people who signed up in January, what percentage are still active in June?
And the visual for this is usually that cohort grid, the triangle chart where you want to see the numbers stay high as you move to the right.
Exactly. That chart tells you the health of your business better than almost any other metric. If your January cohort has 80% retention in June, you have a healthy business. If it drops to 10%, you have a leaky bucket, and you need to fix your product before you spend another dime on ads.
And with the AI builder, you can get that grid just by asking for it.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend 3 days building a model in Excel. That is incredible.
It completely democratizes that high-level analysis. It used to be you needed a dedicated data scientist to get a cohort analysis. Now you just need to ask.
We have covered the basics in the labs. Let's look at the advanced capabilities before we wrap up. We mentioned A-B testing earlier.
Yes, the storefront experiments table. Most A-B testing tools just look at conversion rate.
Right. Who clicked buy?
Did they buy? Yes or no? But because this data is in BigQuery, you can look at the long tail.
Meaning what happens months later.
Exactly. You can query to see, okay, variation B got fewer clicks initially, but the customers who did click had a 20% higher lifetime value over 6 months.
That flips the result. The loser on day one might be the winner on day 180.
That is the difference between surface analytics and deep analytics. Surface analytics says variation A won. Deep analytics says variation B makes more money.
You can also look at loyalty data.
Right. You can query a customer's to see your outstanding liability in loyalty points. How many points are out there waiting to be spent?
It's a liability on the books.
That is technically a debt the business owes its customers. If everyone cashed in their points tomorrow, could you afford it? That's a financial question you can answer in seconds.
Finally, I want to touch on external integrations. We have talked about UltraCart's ecosystem, but the world is bigger than one platform.
This is a key strategic decision by UltraCart. They aren't trying to lock your data inside a walled garden. They aren't saying you can only use our reporting tools.
Right.
By using BigQuery, they have made the data portable. You can connect Google Looker Studio, Microsoft Power BI, Tableau, or Qlik directly to this data warehouse.
So if I have a massive corporate dashboard in Power BI that tracks my Facebook ad spend, my TikTok spend, and my payroll,
You can plug the UltraCart sales data right into that same dashboard. You can mix non-UltraCart data with UltraCart data. You aren't siloed. You can see the holistic view of your entire business universe in one place.
It's true data ownership.
It gives you ownership of your data in a way most SaaS platforms don't.
That flexibility is powerful. Yeah. It respects the fact that businesses are complex. So let's bring it all back home. We have gone from the friendly chatbot interface to the nested JSON structures to the time zone gotchas. What is the big takeaway here?
For me, it is that this ecosystem moves merchants from guessing to knowing. It combines the accessibility of the chatbot, which lowers the barrier to entry, with the raw power of an enterprise database.
You get the best of both worlds.
You don't have to choose between easy and powerful. You get both. But, and this is the caveat, you have to respect the data. You have to understand the basics of how it works to really leverage it.
And it seems like the barrier isn't skill anymore. It is just curiosity. You don't need to be a coder. You just need to be curious enough to ask the question.
That is it. And remember, the data model matches the store. If you know how your store works, you know you have orders, items, customers, then you know how the data looks. You just need to start the conversation.
I want to leave our listeners with a thought to chew on. We talk a lot about conversational marketing chatbots talking to customers, but this is conversational intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It is you talking to your business.
Yeah.
If you could ask your business any question right now about your profit, your churn, your inventory, and get an instant fact-based answer, how much faster would you move?
It changes the speed of decision-making entirely. You stop arguing about opinions in meetings and start acting on facts.
And that is where the competitive advantage lives.
Thank you all for listening to this deep dive into UltraCart's data ecosystem. Go ask your data a question today. We will catch you on the next one.